great pleasure. It's a great, great pleasure. It's a great pleasure to have all of you here today.
I thought you all might begin your tour here.
Hello and welcome. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and you are listening to Radio Free Gaming, your official podcast for defunctgames.com. This week, we learned a lot about the PlayStation 3 Home, we learned that Katamari Damacy is coming to the Xbox 360, and Sinbad may or may not have died. But you know what? We're not going to talk about any of that. Instead, we're going to look at other people's podcasts. This is the show where we look at GameSpot, IGN, and all of those other podcasts on the internet, and we attempt to find the best and worst moments so that you don't have to listen to them. We have an absolutely spectacular episode lined up for you today, including a whole lot of stuff from EGM, as well as some stuff from Next Generation, and we'll even check in with the Games for Windows guys. Up first, we have Dennis Dyack, who's guesting over at EGM Live, their EGM podcast. Now, for those who don't know, Dennis is responsible for Eternal Darkness, that Metal Gear Solid Twin Snake game on the GameCube, and the upcoming Two Human game for the Xbox 360. Given Silicon Knight's past successes, it's hard to believe that Two Human isn't going to live up to expectations. But what we saw at E3 wasn't very good. The frame rate was bad, the graphics were not good, and the whole camera was pulled way too high up so that everything was really, really small. Apparently, I'm not the only one that felt this way about Two Human. EGM, in their E3 guide, let it be known that the game was terrible, saying that it just didn't live up to expectations, and it was the type of thing they wouldn't even show at a high school science fair. Well, Dennis didn't like this very much, and he's decided to come on EGM for an epic two-hour podcast and defend himself. But what we got wasn't really defense so much as him just going absolutely batshit crazy. I kid you not. Let's begin this podcast with what is probably the tamest part of this entire exchange. Enjoy.
So I'm just going to get right to the hard stuff, and this might hurt a little bit, sorry. So it's basically, how was it? In a word, disappointing. Solid combo-friendly controls. Thank you. I'm glad you like that part. Lost in a storm of mediocre graphics, lame effects. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna call to point these shots that you have here are actually from the E3 build, mm-hmm. and there are shots. So you think that those graphics are mediocre?
Yeah, actually, well, I like I said, like these shots in here, I think it looks really good too. But like I said, I mean, I still have the video of what I actually saw, and what I saw was it very rarely looked like this. Like,
well,
this looked really good, but
that
it's not
the camera. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the camera was really far back.
Right.
So one thing is, I think that you could tell there were some issues with the camera in this build. So
yes,
it wasn't showing off how
no.
the game could look.
So that's a good point. But in and some of the effects, I thought when you were swinging the sword and the thing. I mean, I'm not saying that they were finished, that they were the final effects. But again, I'm judging what was on display there. So, and I go on to mention, you know, that the camera was usually zoomed so far back that I think it didn't show off.
You know, I think I said that even in the Ice Bucket blog, we had some serious frame rate issues and we had some serious camera problems.
Right.
But factually, when you say something like lost in a storm of mediocre graphics and lame effects.
Uh huh.
I just think that's not factual. And what I mean by not factual, so let's take Okami.
Uh-huh.
Were the graphics better in Okami than in Two Human?
Well, it's a very different graphical style, but yeah, it's gorgeous. It's smooth. I like the art direction. I mean, you want to compare like the art direction in Aliens to like a Disney movie or something like that.
What platform did Okami come out on?
PlayStation 2.
From here on out, he pretty much defends that an Xbox 360 game should look better than a PlayStation 2 game, and you know what, in theory, that's right. It should. But Okami is an excellent-looking game. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's beautiful. Every inch of it is gorgeous. It has this great art style that everybody falls in love with the moment they see it. The fact that Dennis doesn't admit this makes me wonder if he's actually seen Okami. That's not the only thing I wonder about, though. From here on out, we're actually going to learn quite a bit about what Dennis thinks about journalists in general, especially when it comes to their bias. If you don't get the coverage you want, then maybe it has to do with the person's bias. In this case, EGM must be a Nintendo fanboy, or they must be in bed with Sony.
When you're allied with Nintendo, I got to tell you, I don't know if you can do anything wrong. Everyone loves to love Nintendo, and we love Nintendo. I love Nintendo. And when you switch over, and so I go back to this perfect storm, this is where, you know, Sony comes out, they're showing their stuff. Nintendo's coming out showing the Wii. You've got this, and I think I would say, a question let me ask first. Do you read the forums a lot?
It's part of my job, but I would even if it wasn't.
I think it's clear from this, actually. I would actually have to say that the forums influenced your opinion. And what happened before we even started showing, we had people wanting us not to do well because we've had all kinds of email that we portrayed Nintendo. You know, we left Nintendo to work with Microsoft. Microsoft is not the company that people love. It's a company people love to hate.
Right.
And Nintendo is the company that can never do anything wrong. And from that perspective, I sort of look at this and go, you have all these, I sort of rampant fanboys that are religious to their systems, influencing, wanting us to fail, setting us up to fail because we got that great preview. It's much better than what we anticipated. I was very upfront with you, Shane. We were very nervous right. when we showed you because it was so early. And it was great, the hype that we generated. And it's almost, I'm almost very happy that it's gone away. But in the same sense, all these people just rampantly want to see you fail. And I sort of look at this and go, you know, saying something like, I wouldn't show this in a high school science fair. I know it's good to be down with the readers and stuff, but, you know, we have like 90.
Well, it's making a point. It's an obvious exaggeration to make a point. I'm a writer at the end of the day. I got to make something that people are going to want to read.
Yeah.
The reader gets the point that this should not have been shown at E3. And I think that was an opinion a lot of people shared, right?
Look, I can tell you from experience, EGM does not want you to fail. They wouldn't have done a cover story about you if they wanted you to fail. Maybe they want the PSP to fail, but they certainly don't want Too Human to fail. When you aren't able to make your point by calling in other people's bias, then maybe what you should do is just play the victim, be very, very sad, and feel like it really hurt you.
And I guess where I was going to go is, if you're doing a preview, the amount of, I'm going to be very blunt, the amount of, you know, potential damage that you can do because you guys are press and you're respected, saying anything negative that might not be true, it's a preview. All you can say is the concept's cool. It maybe is a little disappointing, but when you go out and you label something terrible, that makes a difference. That's an impact.
Yeah, because we already know that the top-selling games are always the ones that get the best score. I mean, that's why Madden's so popular, and Scarface did really well last year, and hell, I mean, even Jaws sold a lot, and hey, those were top-selling games. And what about Psychonauts? That was a top-selling game. Oh, wait, it wasn't? The truth is that I don't think Dennis really knows what he's talking about. I mean, if the critics had their way, there would be a lot of small games out there that did really, really well. But as it is, there are a lot of big games that do well and a lot of small games that don't. Let's just face it. Game critics mean nothing. Scores mean nothing. This is true across medias. Look at Norbit. Look at all the movies that do really well in the box office. But the critics hate them. Norbit's 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yet everybody went to go see it. Everybody went to go see Wild Hogs. But let's just move on. And enough with the off-topic movie stuff. Let's just move on. Up next, we see that Dennis goes completely crazy and is just a little full of himself. I warn you, this is going to be a shocking revelation, and you just better be sitting down for this.
I will go so far as to say this particular thing probably is going to change the industry.
What? Oh, no, you did not just say that. No. All right. So when calling out bias, playing the victim, and crazy hyperbole doesn't work, then what's next to play? I suggest sympathy. How about it, Dennis?
And I'm going to tell you, I feel, Mark, just a little bit sorry for you because now you're going to have to deal with this when we come out. But
Dennis, see, I'm not, because what's wrong with me? I thought it seems like, in one sense, it seems like you're saying two things. Like, do you not agree that build shown at E3 was bad?
It is not the worst build that we have shown at E3 before.
But I'm not, that's not what I'm asking. But I'm asking, like,
what are you asking now?
Well, but I'm asking, should I have not given it? What should I have given that build at E3?
Do you regret that?
I thought you regret that build at E3, but at the same time, well, you seem to be saying you shouldn't have graded it harshly.
No, I feel sorry for you because I feel you guys don't have a chance at these previews, and the chance of you evaluating anything reasonably is very low.
Okay, I mean that's fine.
You have to stand behind this stuff and say, you're saying I stand behind this.
But that's the problem.
This.
I do stand behind this.
I know.
E3 build, if we could release that E3 build to the public and let the public decide, I'd have no problem having that out there. I'm not saying that the final game is not going to be awesome. I'm not saying that at all, right?
No, I agree. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
It's your problem. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And from a perspective of... Actually, I'll say it even further. It's the industry's problem. But at the end of the day, okay, your job is to tell the public what you think of games.
Yeah, EGM, how dare you do your job and actually tell people what you think of something? I mean, I know that's your job and all, but how dare you do it?
It's all completely meaningless. And what you're trying to say is that I stand behind this, and I guess what I'm throwing up there is why?
Well... I guess I don't understand the question. I stand behind it because that was my opinion of the build that I played.
Ultimately, your assessment of this build won't have any bearing on the quality of the final game. But it does have a bearing on, like, you know, like at the show, Microsoft put this here for people to play to get excited, and you weren't excited.
Right. Yeah, and here they put it there so that we would play and report on what that build of it was like. So I think I do give the sense in that write-up, it was important to me that even though these are small word counts, to mention that the potential that we see in this game, in the cover story, that it is there. Absolutely. But that I know about it from having read about it in our cover story. But it was not on display in that build, right?
And I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, let's get it down to really simple word counts of you, and I don't think there's any reason why you have to stand behind this.
All right, look, we're just running around in circles at this point, so let's just stop this madness. And I mean, one person thinks that they shouldn't be able to stand behind it. Another person is going to stand behind it because they were the writer. This is just ridiculous. Fight and get it over with. But let's move on. Let's leave the whole fighting aspect behind, and maybe Dennis can concisely tell us exactly what he thinks about this game and what he thinks that this game is going to represent without being too arrogant or self-important. Take it away, Dennis.
I think if we're going to define to human in any way, if you're going to ask me what's the one standout thing, I think to human hopefully will stand for a convergence that's never been seen before in the industry, and we're really trying to get there.
A convergence of genres, basically, of elements of the fast action and the twitch and the storytelling.
Well, and the narrative, yeah.
Right. And the narrative. So the whole idea of the intelligent camera system is that we're going to speak this language of film to gamers. If we're going to compete against Hollywood for production value, Tomb Raider is not going to do it. Okay? When you're staring behind the character over the shoulder cam all the time, you would not watch a movie for 1.5 hours staring behind over someone's shoulder. They've tried it. Hey, let's look what they look at Doom. What a great idea that was.
Yeah,
did you enjoy the part that was in first person? That was great.
Oh, so horrible. I was just like, wow. It's just like that proved to me that just first person movies don't work. And I think eventually we might see the end of first person video games as well.
I hate to tell you this, Dennis, but there is a difference between movies and video games. Of course a first-person movie doesn't work. It's not the narrative of a movie. It works in a video game because you're interacting with that character. It just makes sense. I mean, there's a difference between books and movies as well. You wouldn't go and watch a movie where all you did was read, where there was no acting and no anything at all. I mean, that would be ridiculous. There's a difference between all of these medias. You don't go to a movie to watch music. And you don't go to a movie to watch video games. I mean, it's a different media. Up next, we have what has to be my favorite part of this EGM podcast. And it's mostly because Dennis doesn't say a word.
Who's doing it right? Who's doing cameras right? I mean, who do you look at? Do you look at God of War? Do you look at Devil May Cry? These are games that have mostly automatic cameras. Who do you look at and say, like, let's see what they did there. We can use elements of it.
How many games did they have on the show? There's right? So there was a lot of pressure to put as many games on the show floor as possible. And, you know, we all know. I just asked him who's doing that right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm saying too much. It's just on this recording. Yeah, so I'll be careful. Okay, I've said a lot.
All right. we like a lot.
Yeah.
We like things.
Can you imagine how much better this podcast would have been if Dennis was like that the entire time? I'm just saying. But don't worry. Dennis is not done making crazy outlandish comments. In this next clip, we learn that maybe he should be getting some of the royalties from all of these other trilogies coming out in the video game world. No, really. You should listen to this one. This is a doozy.
You know, one question I have is, why has the video game industry in particular become obsessed with trilogies? I mean, if you look at, like, you know, it's become a very popular thing now that people say before they make game one, they're going to make three.
Well, so I like to think that we helped start that trend.
Of course you do. And I'd like to believe that I helped start the trend of having video game websites. But that just isn't true. All right, Dennis, this is your last chance. We're going to move on to some other podcasts. But first, do you have something really crazy to tell me about? Do you have something that's just going to leave us on a really good note?
Well, we're working with Sega. It's unannounced. It's really good. We're really excited about it.
Uh-huh.
And no.
When do you think people will start hearing about it? Will we start hearing something about it this year, you think?
Well, I was kind of kicking around, like, never showing games till they're finished. And
so not even announcing them before they're finished.
You know, I don't, you know, we're going to see where we go with this, but you know, at the end of the day, if we have enough marketing, so if we do not show that particular project until it's done, and then we do a marketing campaign for 6 months, allow you guys to review it, you know, get some time out there, the consumer's not going to know the difference.
Yeah.
So when I said earlier that I think this preview changed some things, it certainly changed my perspective on things. And I think it's like, I think it's really good. Everyone's really happy with it. And I think those kind of trends are going to be, that's really forward looking. And it allow you guys, again, as you guys said in the last podcast, to be more critical because you can be more confident in what you're saying is more accurate.
That'll do, Dennis. That'll do. Okay, so let's move on from EGM and head on over to Games for Windows. I've mentioned this before, and I'm sure I'll mention it again. I'm not much of a PC gamer, but they have an interesting podcast, and, well, this is one of the funniest moments of the week.
Hey, you can borrow mine. We only got three.
Okay. All right, so this is one. Is this the,
All right, okay.
Heroes
of the Web. Crusty, so I'm stepping out, but I just found this one. I had to bring it by.
Heroes of the Web.
PS2 Forcer 31. God, I'm not even ready for this. Okay. It's coming in here on a dry run. Okay. What the hell? Why the in the hell did we not get our Tonelico Melody of Olemia in Canada? Just like them. To leave us in the dark. Then they wonder why they company is going down the shitter. All as I got to say, Level 5/Square Enix, they this need to hand their company over to the RPG Pro SP Apple. That they have been doing RPGs for the last 20-something years for the love of Christ. The RPG gods, lol. To which... this generated the response.
Well, actually, you know, before the one thing I know
there's
you're
more,
sick,
dude.
So.
This is going.
Okay, I'll wait.
It's the same dude. He's coming back. So someone like interrupts him to say Helen Keller, age 5. Then he comes back. Well, I'm sorry that it bothers you so fucking much. If it bothers you so much, that why in the hell did you read my post and reply? God, I'm really starting to hate ignorant Americans, or sorry, Americans. They are always so mean to people. No wonder why they the most hated people in the world. You know what? I am sorry that I can't spell and that I am so slow. No. Why the hell am I even boating with look where the comments are coming from, shit on the bottom of my feet. But man, who are you to me? Nothing. That's what. Nothing. Sorry to hear about them towers of yours, you sick and fucking tired of people calling me name. Okay, I am going to stop now before I say something that I am going to regret saying. So I think he already right. said a he bunch said that he's going to regret say.
The only- and on that note,
we out.
Peace out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Woo.
Good.
They could do a whole show of that. I'm serious. That's better than talking about computer games. All right, well, we only have one more podcast to go through, and then this broadcast will be done. This is the Next Generation podcast, who has had a pretty good run so far, but is coming to an end soon. I wonder if this series of gaffes and technical difficulties has anything to do with it.
And I'm going to be out late tonight as well, because there's a Next Generation reunion dinner.
Oh, cool.
which is going to be madness in itself.
Yeah, you're going to be out late, no question.
But it's a curry. That's the good news. I get to eat a madras.
Is that
so? I can breathe my garlicky fumes all over people tomorrow. Are you done typing, Gaz?
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm getting some really weird sounds coming off you, Gary.
Yeah, your connection's a little off. You're dropping out now and then. Nothing I can't fix, but I think it's your
connection, Jeremy.
I think it's your connection, Colin.
I don't have anything else running right now.
No, it's not you, Gaz. I think it's Colin's connection.
What do I have to do?
I think you're just on a odd connection. Where are you connected?
I'm in my hotel.
Yeah.
And I'm connected on their wireless network, and it's down to like
four
bars instead of five.
Yeah, it's probably the wireless network.
Shit! What should I do? Should we just press on?
Yeah, I think we should just press on. You sound okay, and I'm getting everything Gaz says, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. I'll just ignore it. Sorry about that. It would be very difficult to say that he's more influential or has been more influential than Shigeru Miyamoto, but the list is a hot 100, and it's talking about, you know, what's happening right now, and if...
Oh.
Oh. Where'd he go?
He's gone.
Did he disappear?
There goes.
No, he says he's still there. I just lost the sound on him. Oh, there he goes.
And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And there you have it. We're finally through another episode of Radio Free Gaming. If you have questions or want to see more content like this, I suggest you head on over to defunctgames.com. That's where you can subscribe to this podcast or read all of our articles, our reviews, and even watch a few episodes of DGC On Demand. Until then, my name is Cyril. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.